Well, good. That sounds like an awesome time. It'll be a blessing. Just say before we get into the word this morning. First of all, this week that movie comes out, The Son of God. And I just want to encourage everybody to go and see it. I'm hearing really good things about it. It's put out by the people that did the Bible on TV, Mark Burnett and his wife. And I'm hearing really good reviews about it, and I think as much as possible we need to support those type of movies when they come out. So, and it comes out this week. So if you get an opportunity, make sure you go and see that. And then the second thing is I just want to kind of share with you my last few days. Thursday morning I flew out to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to go to the Calvary Chapel out there. And has anybody ever been there before? Wow, really? Yeah, so I think it's the largest Calvary Chapel. I'm pretty sure they have about 30,000 people that attend services on the weekend. And, you know, they really rolled out the red carpet for us. I got to meet with a lot of pastors, talk about their ministries, and talk about the things that they do there. Jacob was checking out the school of worship there called Ocean's Edge. And talk about the gift of hospitality. They have it. It was amazing. I mean, they took care of us so well. We felt like rock stars there. You know, it was really, really great. And I had the opportunity to meet with Pastor Bob Coy. Has anybody ever heard him on the radio? Or yeah, so it was really neat. He spent, just was really giving of his time. And he talked about how, you know, it's easy to look at everything going on there and to forget that. And he said these very words. He said, it's the Lord. And that's, you know, that's kind of our theme. And if you know anything about how they got started, him and his wife just drove out. He was an assistant pastor at a Calvary Chapel in Las Vegas and drove out to Florida to start a church. And they started in a funeral home and started just, you know, same kind of thing, really, just all this weird stuff when you start a church. And after 2 years, he actually called back to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and said, I don't think this is going to work out. I think you have somebody else you can send out here because this is just not working. And they said, sure, we'll send somebody out, no problem. And when they said that so easily, it made him think, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe I should reconsider it. And he did. And of course, the Lord just absolutely has blessed it. And when you go there, you realize that, you know, it's never about the size. That's just something that God does. But it's about the depth of the ministry, that people are growing. Their slogan is make disciples. And so you go around and you talk to people, and they're very, the pastor there, everybody on staff, they're very welcoming, loving. They're built on the Word of God. They don't compromise the Word of God. And so that was really neat to see that, really encouraging. It just so happened that when I was there, they were having a little regional meeting of the pastors that were from Florida. And so Pastor Bob asked me if I wanted to sit in on that. So that was neat because I got to hear a lot of things that were going on within Calvary Chapel, especially with Pastor Chuck passing away. And Pastor Bob Coy is on the CCA board, which is Calvary Chapel Association Board, which they sort of make decisions about the movement of Calvary Chapel. So it was kind of neat to hear some of the things that are going on with those meetings and the direction of Calvary Chapel and some of the things people have questions about. So that was kind of interesting. And to meet all the different pastors in Florida was really awesome. We also got to, there was a Jeremy Camp concert there, which is his first stop on a tour that he's starting. And that was really neat because what he's doing in this concert tour is he's doing sort of his testimony through the songs that he's singing. So all of his songs come from his experiences with the Lord and how God has brought him through certain circumstances and situations. And so he'll like do a couple songs And then he'll explain what that song was about and why it's meaningful. And he has a pretty intense testimony. His wife passed away from cancer when he was like 23 years old. And so his song, I Still Believe, was in regards to that and his feelings about that. But it was really emotional. It was his first time he's done that. So he was having a hard time getting through it. And then he was there with his new wife, who he married after. And it was neat because I was thinking, as he was talking about his previous wife who passed away, I was thinking, that must be kind of weird for her sitting there, because she's a singer. She does this stuff with him. And I was thinking, that must be kind of hard for her. And then she shared about that very thing. And she said, you know, you may be thinking that it might be weird for me sitting here hearing about that, but it's really not, because in the end, it's all about eternity and God's plan and what he's doing. And that's what really matters. And then she has a song that she wrote about that, which you might want to look up. It's called Soon. And it's a really great song. So anyway, we got to check out their skate park, which is a ministry. And they're close to Miami. So their skate park, they have a lot of these people like Lil Wayne and Justin Bieber. They call the guy that runs the skate park in the middle of the night and ask if they can come use the skate park. And so he opens it up to them as a ministry and says, come on in. He shares the gospel with them. So stuff like that, just neat stuff. I was wondering if Jacob can come up and share a little bit about his experience at the school of worship, because we want to be praying for him, because he has some decisions to make as far as that. And he's also considering, come on up, Jacob. He's considering the school of worship, which is, there's one in Costa Mesa as well. And so we're looking at both coasts for him, California and Florida. So maybe you just give us some of your thoughts. By the way, they said he had to audition, and they said he has a lot of potential. So can you share some of your thoughts about your experience there? And
Not to
put you on the spot or anything.
There's a lot of things that I liked about Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale. The people, like here and every other Calvary Chapel that you probably go to, everybody's so inviting and welcoming, and they just, like, they want to make you feel comfortable. That's why they were, like, taking us to, like, lunch and stuff. And
they paid for all our lunches, too.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was really good, too. They had key lime pie, too.
Yeah, the best salmon I've ever had was at their restaurant at the church.
And cappuccinos.
Lots of cappuccinos.
Lots of. Anyway. That's beside the point.
Yeah, the cappuccinos is just like icing on the cake.
Yeah,
so.
They had a sugar stirrer. It's awesome. Never mind.
It was like rocks of sugar, and like it was on a stick, and you just swirl it around in the coffee. It was so good.
We're simple people. That was very impressive to us. Anyway, that's beside the point.
So they were really nice, and they took us on tours and everything. And so the audition came, and they just took me in this room. It was like five or six people, one lady and the rest guys. And they just asked me some simple questions like, you know, what church do you go to? Like, what denomination is it? And so just simple questions like that. And then I played two songs for them. And then they said, okay. And so after I played two songs, one of the guys took me into another room and just did a little interview. And he asked like really personal questions. And he said that was for me to be comfortable with opening up to the staff and the students there. Cause all like the staff and the students, they're all like, they all hang out all the time, and they're like really close knit, like they're basically family. So he just wanted me to feel comfortable talking to him and all the other people. After that, I just kind of left, and we went and what did we do? I don't know. We went to eat after that. We did a lot of eating. Yeah, lots of coffee too. So they just said okay. So they said they would let me know in 2 weeks. But then Kelly came out, which is the lady that is Bob Coy's assistant, and she was showing us around the whole time. So she came out and she told us that she was told that I had a lot of potential and that, you know, all that cool stuff. So so after that, we went and ate, and then we hung out and then ate again. And the whole trip was awesome. And, I mean, I love the campus and the people. So,
amen. And thank you, Jacob. You're dismissed. But what he forgot to tell you is also he just got done eating lunch with Pastor Bob. So he was able to share that with the people that were doing his audition. I just had lunch with Pastor Bob, so I'm sure that helped his audition a little bit. So anyway, be that as it may, the point of that is no matter how big, no matter how small, it's the Lord that does the work. We stay faithful. We stay to the Word, trusting in the Spirit, loving one another, keeping it about God, and whatever He wants to do with that is completely up to Him. We just need to stay faithful. Amen? All right, well, let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much. Our life in You is like an adventure, Lord, and to be able to just be at Your mercy, to understand Your mercies are new every day, and Your plan for our life is good and perfect and acceptable, Lord. And I know living a life surrendered to You, it's a never-ending adventure, a never-ending joy and peace, as we know Your plan is perfect for us, Lord. And to be in places and to do things that we know, Lord, is in Your perfect will, it's always so exciting. And most importantly, it's You who is in everything that makes everything so wonderful, Lord. And so this morning, we thank You for the opportunity once again to get into Your Word, to be grounded in truth and to be built up in the faith, Lord. And we pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You would reveal these things to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and take them out and turn to the book of Hebrews. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in one of the back of the seats there. So, Hebrews chapter 6. We're starting in verse 9 this morning. And as we do that now, we're getting into an area that is obviously something very, very concerning for the Apostle Paul. And what he's looking at is something that even goes way back to the very first man and woman. It's an issue that we face, something that in our understanding of things, the way we relate to things is we're always thinking about more is better. We're always thinking that there's something greater, something bigger, something else. Some of us might like to think of it as the grass is greener on the other side type of syndrome. And that's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Eve, that there's something bigger, greater, better. You're missing out. There's something else to be had. And those are the same sort of things that those who are in the scriptures here in our text, they were struggling with that. And so the question before us, what we have to ask ourselves as we move forward here really is, for you and I here this morning, is there anything in us that thinks these thoughts or thinks these things that if this were to happen or if I were to acquire this or have this, would my life be better? It deals with the issue of contentment, being satisfied with what we have. How? Knowing, as a Christian, that we already have it all in Jesus Christ. That the moment we give our life to Jesus Christ, we have it all. There's nothing left out. And then it's just our walking in everything in Christ that we grow in the experience of all that we have. But the key issue is to know that it's all in Christ. That there's nothing outside of Christ that will add to our life or make it better. And so as we look at the scriptures, we started off in chapter 6, verse 1, with this discussion about people who have been around godly things, been around godly people, who have tasted of and maybe experienced some moves of God, some things of God, maybe somebody who's said a little prayer and that prayer was answered, and yet they're going back into other things to try to find contentment or satisfaction, particularly in religious things. That the recipients of this letter were people who were struggling to go back into other things when everything was found in Christ Himself. And that's what's pointed out here right in verse 9, if I can draw your attention to verse 9. So after this warning, he shifts gears. And after getting done warning and talking about people who are moving away from Christ, he says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." And that's the title of the message this morning. And I want to ask you, have you found that experientially, that in Christ are the better things? Isn't it a great day when you realize that there was a day when you were scrambling, struggling, using all your might and energy to have better things, and you discover that that's an endless pursuit. There's no end to that pursuit. That you're chasing your tail, you're chasing the wind. Because outside of Christ, there's no better thing. And so you just go around like a hamster on a wheel, round and round and round, exerting a lot of energy, and yet you're just in the same place. Why is that? Why is that? If you've been on that treadmill, which I have, growing up, I would say my idol or God was more of an achievement-oriented idol or God, that I would feel good about myself by achievement. But one achievement just leads to another achievement. You see, it always amazes me after somebody wins a Super Bowl, they ask them right away, "So what about next year? You think you can do it again? Why can't I enjoy this one?" And what are the odds of somebody winning a Super Bowl 2 years in a row? It's not very good. But see, that's the mentality. That's a mentality, and that's a self-defeating mentality. And then it ends without satisfaction, without hope. It ends in an endless place. And the Bible is really clear. It tells us that the flesh is never satisfied. And that's a truth that it means that our flesh, our bodies, our self, our passions, our desires that come from a selfish perspective, that we will never find a place where we finally say, "I've made it." That this is it. And talking with Pastor Bob Coy, you don't get the sense that he looks around at all this stuff and says, "Wow, look how awesome I am. And look how awesome we are." You get the sense that all the stuff makes him just think how awesome God is. In fact, he told me that. He said, "You know, it's kind of like," and he started with, you know, just 20 or less people. And it's kind of like he used the analogy like holding a baby cow, a calf. And you hold it and you feed it and it kind of grows and you get stronger as the calf's growing. And pretty soon it's getting bigger and bigger. You're growing and getting bigger and bigger. And then one day you look around and you realize there are straps holding up that calf and you were never even holding it at all. God just lets you feel like you are. So you feel like you're a part of it. And I found that to be true in the Lord. That in the end, it's not about the stuff and it's not about achievement. It's just about the Lord Himself. Only He truly satisfies. Some of us has taken a long time to get that. Some of us sooner. And some of us have gotten that in the beginning, but we're tempted then, maybe as we look around and we see other things in other people's life, we're tempted to say, why not me? How come them? Those are the questions that go through people's mind. I could see how somebody could walk into the campus there at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, and say, why not me? How come not me? But the saving grace is to know it's not about me. And it's about the Lord, and that's where true satisfaction comes. But do you see that in the text here? Do you see that's what he's getting at? He's saying, beloved, I'm confident of better things concerning you. That now you, unlike those before who are trusting in themselves and their own works and achievement, anything you want to put in the blank without Jesus, and they're coming up unfulfilled and unsatisfied, but concerning you, he says, yes, notice this. He says, things that accompany what? But concerning you, it's different because things concerning your salvation are now the better things that you have. So the better things are all wrapped up in our salvation, which means our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And have you found that to be true? Isn't that a great day to come to that place? I talked to another guy. He runs the grill there, which is pretty phenomenal. We're having coffee together, espresso. And he's saying, you know, John, I was in charge of restaurants that were generating $100 million a year. And my wife and I sat down and we both came to this conclusion of how empty this is, how unfulfilling this is. They both realized that they were people that had, and they were Christians, but yet they hadn't dove into their Christianity. They had a Christianity that was comfortable, that was isolated, uninvolved, and that had more to do, in his own words, more to do with us than it had to do with Christ and others. And so he came to Pastor Bob one day and said, your restaurant is terrible. And he said, and actually Pastor Bob's telling me this part of the story. This guy's name's Fred. He's crying. Fred's crying and said, God doesn't want us to serve ourselves anymore. And so we want to come to you. I know I won't make hardly any money working for you anymore. But we want to dedicate our lives to serving God and serving this fellowship. And so he took over the restaurant. Now that restaurant is used to employ the people that are from their drug and alcohol outreach, that he runs that out also. It's called Calvary Ranch. So they take these guys in, minister to them, and he told me, he said, you know what we do? How we change these guys' lives? They come in, we wake up, and we read the Bible together. And then we read the Bible some more. And then we go serve, and then we read the Bible some more, and we pray, and then we go serve some more. That's what we do. And so all the people working in this grill, they were all people that had changed their lives around. Now they're being employed. Now God's using his gifts, Fred, to bless all these people. And these people are serving. It's neat because they have, on their name tags, they have a scripture. It's their life's verse. And so you ask them about, what is that? And they all know it, and they all share what that means to them. But the point is, the better things are in our salvation. That's the point. The better things are the things in Christ. And the Bible says the better things, these things, there's nothing left out of those things. So you may ask yourself, well, why don't I experience that? How come I feel as if my life as a Christian is boring or comes up short or the world has much more to offer? And you know what I think it is? I think it's the failure to dive in to our Christianity. See, Christianity doesn't work if we're people who just look at it from the outside. Christianity is meant to be something that we dive into, that we give our whole self to. It's not meant to be something that we pick apart and take pieces of and then say, well, how come this doesn't seem so fulfilling? Well, because you're not in it. It's because you're dabbling. It's because you're eating the garnishes and you're not getting to the main thing. You're not fully surrendered to the working of God in your life. And could it be that it possibly we're not open for business? You know what I mean? It's scary being open for business. What I mean by that is saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, do whatever you want in my life. Do you know that that's scary to do that? And I really believe, just by observation's sake and in my own life, it's the times when I'm open for business. And I say, Lord, I'm all yours. Do what you want to do. Those are the scary and exciting times. Those are the times when God really moves me to do things that I would never do on my own. And then he empowers me to do them. But you may have a faith that's a faith that is the same if God's moving or not. That it'd be easy to have a faith that you don't need to depend on God. A faith that's not scary. A faith that doesn't risk anything. A faith that has gotten comfortable by just sort of adopting a lifestyle of an association with the things of God, but never diving in. And that's not a Christianity that works. You know what I mean? That leads me to my next point. Notice what he says in verse 10. So these better things, they're in our salvation. They're nowhere else. But notice what he says next. In verse 10, he says, For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So he's saying then that these better things are in our salvation, and then they're in our salvation, in our working in our salvation. That we are saved, that God has changed us, he's given us a new heart, and part of the new creation of who we are is this incredible, insatiable desire to serve others. And that comes from God himself. Because what did Jesus do when he was here? He came to serve and not to be served. He came to pour his life out for many, didn't he? But see, a Christianity that's not working is a Christianity that doesn't work. And the difference in a religious working versus a salvation working is that a religious working works to please God in a way they're trying to get something they think is left out from God. But remember, when we're saved, nothing's left out. A salvation working is a working in which we are so passionately in love with God, blown away by what he's done in our life, that we just can't help but want to share that and to be a part of that and to be used in that. What we get here is that if we're not diving into the pool of salvation, then we're probably not involved in the game of salvation. A spectator Christianity is not a full working Christianity. Our tires may be flat. Our starter may not be working. And it goes against what's natural for a new believer. And this is how we see many people easily fall away from the Lord, into sort of an apathetic type of Christianity if they're not serving. I know I was like that. I know my early Christianity was more about learning information than it was about loving others and serving in the body of Christ. The good thing is I learned, which told me I was not diving into the work of God. So that learning of God's word brought me to a place where I realized I'm coming up short. That God has better things for me than just serving myself. So I began as simple as I could think, just what can I do? I'm not good really at any of this Christian stuff. So what can I do? And I just felt like I can help. I can serve. And so I became an usher. And something happened to me. And it was weird because I was nervous to do that. I was really nervous. And I was sort of encouraged by some friends that were ushers around me. And I remember the first day I had to wear this little polo shirt. And just putting that on and being a representative in that position as an usher made me really nervous about it. And it is interesting because even that step for me of faith, it made me depend on God because that was scary for me. And I remember just thinking, well, what if I drop communion or what if I drop the pass around thing? And, you know, this is, what if I sit somebody in the wrong place or something? I was scared. It was scary. But, you know, you just do it by faith. And then what happened was that became the delight of my life. Just standing there with the polo shirt on, saying hi to people in the name of God, walking in, loving on them. Then they would ask you questions about stuff and serving them. That was such a blessing for me. And it became so exciting, so important. And then I realized there's something about the Christian that finds such peace in serving the Lord. But do you notice what he says here? That God won't forget our work. That's important. There's something about serving the Lord that's different about anything else. And the Bible says that whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Now, here's a new approach to life and something that when I served as an usher, which, by the way, led into all these other things, which led to me standing here, which was never part of my script. Right, Jerry? You know. He knew me when I was, yeah. Don't ask him about this nice stuff, right? The point is, here's what happens. When we do everything for the Lord, the scripture is in Colossians 3:23. It says this, whatever you do, do it heartily. That's just do it with everything you have in you, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do you want to be passionate about taking out the trash? You can be. You can be fired up about taking out the trash. Why? All right, I'm doing this for the Lord. And the Bible says, in all labor there's profit. That means everything I do, everything you do for the Lord, there's a profit that God sees it. He notices it. It's important to him. Not one single little prayer, little picking up of a communion cup and dropping it in the wastebasket, chords struck on a guitar, not one little prayer that you may say for somebody else, not one little word of encouragement, not one little moment of time you and I spend in God's word, whatever we do, as we do it unto the Lord. We go to work tomorrow. We don't go to work for ourselves, because you know what happens when we do? If our motivation is not higher than ourselves, we start saying, I hate my boss. He's so mean. I can't believe he treats me like that. Who does he think he is? He actually wants me to work? Can you believe him? What is wrong with him? Doesn't he know I'm human? We start thinking things like that. But you know what changes? The Bible says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. I'm going to work tomorrow for the Lord. And when my boss asks me to do something I don't like to do, I'm doing it for the Lord. And the Lord sees that. And now I get to enact my faith. To say, Lord, I'm a servant of you. I'm going to serve those around me in whatever way you seem fit. And all of that is going to echo into eternity. All of it. And God is just waiting. I see him just waiting for us to enact our faith. And that's what it comes down to. You see, it's what we do in faith, not what we do in any other way, in and of ourselves. But see, what happens when our motivation is higher than ourselves? That means that we don't stop when self is not compromised or self is not hurt. We keep going because our motivation is higher than ourselves. And so now we can be passionate about anything and everything because now our boss is God, who doesn't forget, and the rewards are for the peace now, serving the Lord. But not only that, we can do it with excitement and encouragement because we know God notices and we know it means something for eternity. Do you get that? What we do now will affect how we spend eternity. Not for salvation's sake, because salvation comes in a one-time moment by putting our faith in Christ. But then how we spend our salvation, how we spend our life, and that which is motivated by our love for God and our faith in God gets rewarded and affects how we spend eternity. Notice what he says next. He says, not only is God not unjust to forget your work, but notice, and your labor of love. See, God has made us as new creations to love the things that he loves. And Jesus loved serving. He loved pouring out his life for people. He loved honoring the Father. And so we then too have that same heart. And not exercising that heart of a servant, born out of the love of God that he has for us, it ends up in the person thinking, well, this is boring. There must be something else. Well, yeah, it would be boring if your whole Christian experience is coming to church for an hour and a half on Sunday. And that's it. I mean, that's not Christianity. Christianity is living your whole life for Christ in whatever you're doing. Try that. And begin to see the Lord do incredible things in your life. But do it, he says now, out of love. So that speaks of, one, our love for God. And it speaks of his love for us. So now this process or this working of what we do for the Lord is born out of this great love we have for God. And it is amazing what we do when we're in love, isn't it? The extent of time and energy and craziness and weirdness and things that we would do when we fall in love with somebody. That we will do anything. And the people on the outside are saying, what's wrong with that guy? If you have teenagers who have fallen in love, and you watch what they do, it's they become like somebody else. Like, what happened to my kid? He's crazy in love. But see, here's the thing. if we're knowing God right, if we're relating to Him correctly, the way the Bible says, there should be an element of our life that's really doing some really unorthodox, crazy things for the Lord, that our life then becomes this life that is so dependent every day on the Lord, because now we're serving Him out of love and we have to depend on Him to be able to get us through and to do the things that He's called us to do. So the point here is that we're to completely dive into our relationship with God. And part of that then is whatever we do, we're doing it for the Lord. And He is the reward that we get. And not the result of what we do is the reward, but the very act of doing it for the Lord, because now He is our exceedingly great reward, and we find Him in the service, in whatever we're doing. And this is how we become passionate about serving the Lord, about being a Christian, and then we begin to watch Him do things that were so beyond us. You ask yourself, has God ever done anything in your life that you could not have just done yourself? I always ask myself that. I don't want to have God work in my life in a way where it had been no different if I did it or if He did it. I want to know at the end of the day that God has done something that I could have never done. I want to see that fingerprint of God, the Spirit of God working in and through me. So when I look back, I just say, that was the Lord. And He is so awesome and good, and we boast in His mighty works. But see, that's not going to happen if we don't dive into our salvation. That's not going to happen if we don't see our life, whatever we're doing, as a life to be lived as unto the Lord. That doesn't happen if we've gotten comfortable and we've gotten used to the way we do things and we're not open to the Holy Spirit. We're not open for business. The open sign is off and it says closed, and we're just not open and willing to do what God wants to do in our life. And so at the end of the day, we're going to end right here. We see then this writer moving the recipients of this letter to open their mind and their heart to a Christianity that they haven't experienced yet. And he's confident that they will. And it begs the question for us today. And that question is Jesus enough for us? Do we need something else? Are we looking for artificial ways to excite us and motivate us and to ramp up our engines? Or is Jesus just enough? The temptation then for us is to be careful of that life that looks to something else instead of looking to Christ and says, if only this, if only that, when this or when that, when Christ says it's all right now, right this second, in me, I have everything pertaining to life and godliness. I have left nothing out. The problem is, maybe you have left me out. At the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, it's for me to live for Christ. When I wake up every morning, am I open for business? I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to be thinking about, am I open to God for whatever, whenever, however? Am I really His? Am I being disobedient? Am I resisting the Holy Spirit? Am I dragging my feet? Well, that's not very fun. Or am I being carried away by the plan of God, blown away constantly by His presence, enraptured by who He is, and then looking at the great things that He has done in awe and amazement. Better things has Christ for us. Better things than anything the world has to give. Better things than we could ever find or hope for, because God does exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. How? According to the power that works in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so grateful personally for what You've done in my life, Lord. You truly and sincerely have blown me away by doing what You have done. I could have never hoped for anything better than what You've done in my life, Lord. You are awesome, God. Heavenly Father, I want to just take this opportunity to give the opportunity for anybody here who right now in this place, if they were to die today, they wouldn't be sure about where they're spending eternity. Lord, I want to pray for anybody here who would say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be forgiven. Anybody here who has come to a place where they find that life is pretty stingy. Life is pretty empty without You. Life is exhausting and frustrating and, for the most part, disappointing. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came and He died for all who would believe. And that is the separation point. And the Bible says it's a separation point because we've all sinned. We're born sinners. We can't deny that. A sin is any moral imperfection in our life, not only in our action, but in our thoughts. And those sins bar us from heaven. And the good thing is that God, He didn't leave us in that condition. He made a way. He gave us the key. He made the key. The key was that He took our place, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was a sacrifice, that the wages or the penalty of sin was taken by Jesus Christ. So whoever would believe in Him, surrendering their life to Him in faith, they would be saved. That means that we would rest our hope in Jesus Christ alone to go to heaven. And we can do that because He's the only one that died for our sins. And so if you're here this morning and you've never received that key, never received that opening, never received that way of salvation in Jesus Christ, you can do that right here, right now, right in this place, right in your seat. You could be saved today. How? The Bible says that if we believe in our heart and confess that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. Of course, to do that, we have to understand that we are sinners. And the direction that we're going is away from God as sinners. And so the Bible says to repent or to turn in the direction of Christ. Go from doing your own thing to a direction of faith in Christ. and you will be saved. He did the work. We have to receive it. And so if you're here this morning, you'd like to do that, you can do it right here, right now, right in your seat. And just follow me in this simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, now I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I am trusting you, God, to be my Savior. And now I give you my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to walk with you. And if you've prayed that prayer and meant that in your heart, the Bible says that you will be saved. And so as we finish this morning, I'd also like to just encourage the rest of us that we would have a passionate pursuit of the Lord. That our Christianity wouldn't be just not doing stuff. Our Christianity would be pursuing God. As a deer pants for water, so our soul longs for Him. I pray for anybody here that's gotten complacent or lethargic. I pray now that they would dive into the pool of salvation and open themselves up fully and completely to your will and your plan. That we would all be open to business here. Open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Making ourselves available. There's nothing more important. And Lord, we give you all the glory, and I look forward to continual great works that you're going to do in our lives here, in and through this body, and through our town, our homes, our community, as we surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, and we're going to worship the Lord. God bless you guys. Don't forget the potluck after. And I just really want to encourage you, if you're new here, just come to the potluck. It's really important to connect with the body. If you get an opportunity, just stop by, say hi to somebody. I know that's awkward sometimes, but trust you, nobody bites too hard here, so you'll be okay. And the food's usually really good. So God bless you guys. Have a great week.